Mechias HaMalek. The Mitzvah V'Yachduna. Mechias HaMalek. So there's a piece here in Avni Nezer. That's a very samach test. As we did last week, very samach test is the first side. As we did last week, the primary teaching is from the father, from the grandfather, father. Okay, good. The Avni Nezer is where it's all coming, it's all growing from. And the son, the Shem Yishmul, and the grandson of Henochel, they're developing the teachings of the Avni Nezer. So here we have a very, very good preparation for Pasha Zohar. Everybody could use it for Dvar Torah, for the Shabbos table, for sure. For a couple of months. Kroi Kedushas Avi Admor Zetzal. Omar Al-Kah. Mibneima Unsho Shalamolek Chomer Yoser Mikol HaGoyim Shehereu Li Yisrael Pi Kamer Yoser Mimenu. Why is the punishment that the Torah demands of a Molek, Mocha Timcha, Emcha, to eradicate, to erase the name of a Molek, why is it that this punishment is so much harsher than that of other nations who in Mitzias have caused more damage to the Jewish people than Amalek? Ubnei bonav shel Sancheirav lomdu Torah b'Rabim. Actually, the Nebonav shel Haman, we have a Kabbalah that's something that we're not going to talk about right now, maybe more on Shabbos or by Purim, that there's a Kabbalah that Bnei Bonav shel Haman lamdu Torah b'Bnei Brak, and that there were descendants of Haman that was studying Torah, which raises the whole question: how could they be Gerim that come from Amalek, which is discussed at length in the Poskim. But what the Rebbe is asking here is that we see that there are Bnei Bonav shel Sancheirav, the nation of Sancheirav, Ashur, had caused terrible, terrible damage to the Jewish people, and he has Enochlach that is sitting very comfortable learning Beis Medrash, and nobody seems to be worried about the descendants of Sancheirav, the enemy of the Jewish people. But when it comes to Amalek, we've been commanded to erase Amalek altogether. We're picking the Rebbe Lazar Yisra, Shakarish Baruch, Nishba Bekis Osh, Shalo Yikabel Geri Me'amalek. Chazal tells us that Hashem swore by His throne. Hashem is Baruch swore by His throne that we are never to accept converts from Amalek. So what is it about Amalek that's different? And we always say, well, the Amalek was the first one to attack. That doesn't seem to justify the fact that they were the first to attack doesn't seem to justify the psak din of the Torah regarding Amalek. So let's see. Venira, ki chol hagoyim hamitzikim liyisrael lahoyim merim lahem ela bechitzonius. All of the enemies of the Jewish people have caused us harm, have attacked us in a way that was only bechitzonius, only in an external way, in an outward way. It's actually in the Tochacha, Rashi says, it says, v'rodu b'chem soneichem. So Rashi says, I'm just reading to Rashi from Vayikra, she'eni mamitz sonim elabach elamikem uvachem. Because in order to understand what we're going to learn here, we have to hear what Rashi is saying. Hashem says, "V'rodu bochem sonechem," that those who hate you will subjugate you. So Rashi says, "She'eni mamitz sonim elamikem uvachem," that the greatest enemies of the Jewish people are going to rise from among the Jewish people. Our greatest enemies. Shabishah she'umas ha'olam. I'm the Mal Yisrael, because when the nations of the world will stand against Yisrael, Einem avakshim elamash v'golui. They seek nothing but that which is in the open. That brings a pasuk. Avol b'shoh sha'amid aleichem, at the time that I give rise against you to those who hate you, mikem uvachem, from amongst your very selves, Hey, mechapsim achra hamatmoni yishalachem. They search for your hidden treasures. So Rashi is telling us that this is one of the saddest, the whole Torah is upsetting. But here, what the Torah is telling us, Rerodu bochem, when it says in the pasuk, Rerodu bochem sonechem, that the greatest enemies of the Jewish people will be Jews. The greatest enemies, why? What do you mean? How many Jews, Sof Kosov, have killed Jews? So what Rashi is saying is that the enemies of the Jewish people, they only are familiar with that which is begolui. They can only attack that which is revealed, that which they know about, that which is familiar to them. But if I raise up enemies from amongst the Jewish people, they know all the matmonias, they know all the secrets of Klai Yisrael. Now, they know where to look for our hidden treasures. And obviously, Rashi's telling us something deeper. He's not talking about that they know where, you know, they know the bank accounts, so they know where you're keeping your leichter. That's not what it means. That somehow Klai Yisrael has an understanding every Jew has an understanding of the pnimius of Klai Yisrael. So all of our enemies, Rashi's telling us, all of our enemies, they only have an understanding of that which is begoli, which is revealed. And that's what Rashi brings over here. Alaposik virodu bachem sonechem shebishar sheumus olam ov ve'elilam omdim al Yisrael einem evakshem elamashe begoli. V'lahayisalahem shlita, now he's explaining. V'lahayisalahem shlita bepnimius el bameshe begoli. That means that when any of the nations of the world rose up against us, or rise up against us, the only koach they have over us is regarding those things that are revealed and that are open, over our physical existence, perhaps to do some damage to our culture and so on. Like the nations of the world, that they themselves are chitzonim. That they themselves are chitzonim. So the Maral talks about Netzach Yisrael, we'll get to in a minute. In other words, the nations of the world cannot reach that deepest part of Klai Yisrael because the nations of the world themselves only live on the external plane. Therefore, they don't understand the matmonius of Klai Yisrael, the hidden treasures of the Jewish people. They don't come after the hidden treasures because they have no hasag of the hidden treasures. They have no understanding of our hidden treasures. We know, we'll base a storm in a makabel tuma. The Rebbe is referring to the Gemara Nida, but it's really a principle in Chazal all over. That means the Raisa said it from the Torah. What the Gemara is referring to specifically there in Nida is that according to the Torah, the Raisa, unless the blood which is impure has emerged from the person, if the blood is still inside, even though it's just beneath the surface, I'm speaking, of course, Beloshen Nekiah, if the blood is just beneath the surface and it hasn't actually begun to flow to the outer part of the body, so then according to the Torah Midaraisa, that dam is not tamed. That dam is called dam belua. It's absorbed. It's still in the body. And there's a halachic principle that states that based hastorim ainu makabel tuma, that hidden places of the body are not makabel tuma. In other words, inside the body is not makabel tuma. So as long as the blood has not yet appeared on the surface of the body, the fact that there's blood inside, so midaraisa, not tamam derabon, but according to the Torah, midaraisa, it's not metame. So here you have another perfect example of how in Sochet Shav, halachic principles are used in order to understand deep concepts in Chassidus. And here's a perfect example of the lomdus of Sochet Shav, of the learning of Sochet Shav, and how it's applied to Chassidus. And this is something which is a trademark of Sochet Shav, of the Avinezer and his family. And how does he apply this over here? Why is it that there's no tum? Why is it that impurity doesn't attack the inner organs? Impurity is only to be found once there's tumah on the outside of the body. So the Avnei Nezer is teaching because impurity only has an effect over that which is external and revealed. Tumah itself is a shallow external kaf that exists in reality. The inner essence, the core of reality, is holy. Tumah is something that can attach itself only to the external manifestations of reality. In halacha, the fact that that midaraisa, there's no tumah that based a storm, that in the inner part, in the inner organ of the body, as long as the blood is inside, it is not metame. It's because tumah doesn't hang around inside. The koch of tumah is only looking for things that have surface, because tumah itself is a power, is a koch of superficiality. The tumah blur ain't metame. Al kein nami. Ein le tumah shlitel of mashav agoli. Kein nami kol koches haumis. So too with all the koches of the nations of the world. Ba'asher mahusam shehem chitzonim. All of the nations of the world, in their core, only exist on a level that is superficial. That doesn't mean to say that they don't love and they don't care and they don't feel and they don't have emotions. That's not what it's saying. But in terms of the essence, the essence compared to Knesset Yisrael, compared to Klal Yisrael, they don't reach the depths of creation. Al-Kain Ein Lahem Shlit El B'chitzonius Levad. Therefore, whenever we were attacked by the nations of the world, those attacks would take place only on the front, and those impurity attacks only on that shallow, superficial, surface level. So too, the nations of the world attacked us to physically hurt us, and so on, but they weren't able to reach into the base of Torah. They could not reach into the places that are hidden, into the treasures of Klal Yisrael. Achshonim Ehem Amolek. Now here's the difference between Amalek and the nations of the world. Here Amalek is different. Shemohuso hukoach pnimi ra. Amalek is a koach pnimi ra. Amalek is the zelu mazev klai Yisrael. Everything in the world exists in holiness, has an opposing force in the world of impurity. The nations of the world, besides Amalek, the other nations, they can't really compete with us. And any kind of, you know, they're not playing ball in the same court as Klal Yisrael. That doesn't mean that we don't have aggravation from them. We have plenty of aggravation. Plenty of tzaris. All that Yishmael does, it's not in the panemius of Klal Yisrael. It's very aggravating. And we've had many funerals as a result of these things. However, the panemius, they can't touch. We're not even talking this. It's not the same language. Amalek's talking the same language. In other words, Amalek is speaking the language of inwardness. What's frightening is the inwardness of evil. It's the core of evil. Their evil isn't something which is external. Their evil isn't something which is superficial. It reaches the very. He's going to explain why. It's mamish from the core. It's the essence. It's the koach of zelu mazen creation, of the Eitz Hadas Tov and Ra. It goes back to the creation. It goes back mamish to creation. That's why it says in the Kisvari and in the Tikkunim that the Eitz Hadas Tov and Ra, that the Eitz Hadas Tov and Ra, that the Tov side is Yaakov and the evil side is Esav. And that means that there's a koach El Yom, that we're dealing with a very exalted strength, a koach that is from a place of inwardness. He's saying from the Adonazer, from the grandfather, the divrei perkid rebelozer, shehim shalas Shabbos lekos yain, v'asamolek lekos chometz. Over there in the Medrash, Chazal point out to the fact that we have the term zachoris yom haShabbos lekadsho, remember the Shabbos and keep it holy, and we have the term zachoris asher asolach amolek, remember what Amalek has done to you. And Chazal point out that it's not a coincidence. Zachor is Asher HaSolach HaMalek and Zachor is Yom HaShabbos. And Chazal say over there that Shabbos, the Medrash says that Shabbos is compared to a glass of wine, kos yain, and Amalek is compared to a glass of vinegar, kos chomes. Hainu, what does that mean? Sheshneihem boim mipnimius ha'anovim. The meaning of this is, Davni Nezer taught, that both Yisrael, the Jew, both Shabbos and Amalek come from a hidden place. In other words, just like the wine is something which is concealed in the very depths of the grape, so too, Shabbos is yain as wine, a glass of wine for the Jewish people, and Amalek is a glass of vinegar. Vinegar, hainu sheshneim boim pnimis anovim, ela chometz uzesh niskalkil. What's the difference between the wine and the vinegar? Is that the vinegar has been miskalkel. The vinegar comes from the inwardness of the grape, but the vinegar has soured, has become ruined. So the comparison between Zochar's as Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, the Shabbos that belongs to Klai Yisrael, which is the day of Pnimiyus, which is the day of inwardness, and Zochos Asher Asoluch HaMolek, which is the koach of chometz, of vinegar, that is from the inside of the grape, but it's been miscalculated, it's become ruined. U'bazeh HaMolek U'mishuner Mikol HaUmos. And here is the way, this is how HaMolek is different from all of the nations. Shehin kochos chitzoniim levad, because all of the nations are external kochos. V'ilo amalek u'koch pnimi ra, but amalek is the inward koch of rav evil. It is also from the grape; it's just it's gone sour. V'uhepach mishabbos, and that's the opposite of Shabbos, which is another reason why is it that the mitzvah to remember Amalek and to read the parash of Mechias Amalek is dafka on Shabbos. Why do you have to read the Torah on Shabbos about Amalek? Why is it dafka on Shabbos? So they say that the Kotzker asked the Chiddush Harim, why is it that, what's the connection between Shabbos and Mechias Amalek? Why is it that it's dafka on Shabbos? So the Chiddush Harim said, because it says by Amalek v'ha'yeh v'niach Hashem al-kecha oscha, that when Hashem will give us peace and rest from the rest of our enemies, so then the Torah says, then you will erase Amalek, right? Then you will destroy Amalek, you'll finish off Amalek. So the Chiddush Harim says, so v'ha'yeh v'niach Hashem al-kecha is the b'chin of Shabbos. Shabbos is the day of rest. Shabbos is the day when you can focus on what's true and what's deep and what's real. So on the day of death, which is Shabbos, we have the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, because Amalek is wrestling with us on that level that is on that deeper level. Therefore, it's only when you have the Yishuv Hadas of V'Hoye Beiniach Hashem Olkech Oyscha Mikolai Vecha Misaviv, and then Hashem says Timcha Zeich Amalek. When do you have the koach to destroy Amalek? When you're at peace from all of your enemies that surround you. So Shabbos is the day when a Jewish person is at peace from the enemies that surround him, and then is the most opportune time to destroy, to wage war with Amalek, to wage war with that inner koach of impurity. That's what the Rebbe is saying. Hepach mishabbos shum me'ein alam haba. Shabbos is the day of concealment, is the day of inwardness, of pnimius, because Shabbos is like olam haba, olam hamatzpun, which means the world of the subconscious, the world that is concealed, the world of the inner self, is Shabbos. Valkain, therefore, the Gemara says, Matan Schar Le Ovid Le Gluye. The Gemara says in Shabbos. The Gemara is talking about the fact that Shabbos, the Gemara says, was given Bitsina. That Shabbos was given to us privately. Bein Yu Bein Eichem. The Gemara asks, what kind of privately? Harsinai, the whole world heard Zochas Yom HaShabbos. So the Gemara says that the Matan Schar, the reward of Shabbos, is private. Shabbos itself is true; the whole world knows there is a Shabbos. But the Matan Scharishal Shabbos is only Avida Legluye. In other words, it's only for us. It's safe for us. Ayin Le'Rosa Lekim Zolatecha. But the nations of the world La'Avida Legluye. They don't understand. They don't see the reward of Shabbos. That means they don't see the Olam Haba aspect of Shabbos. They don't see the hidden part of Shabbos. That's why people always ask, I have a very nice day of rest by watching television or going to the beach with my family. You know, by going to the beach with my family. I mean, these are the conversations we had when I lived in Eretz, you know, I lived in Netanya for a year. And, the typical conversation was, I believe in Shabbat, but Shabbat is, Hashem told me to rest on Shabbos, and that's my only day off. So that's the way that I rest. So you tell him, what do you mean? What about the Lamates Melochus and the Rabbanans and all the, you know, Sikresha, Melochus and Tzich Lagufa, what about everything else, the whole, what does that do with my rest? What does that do with resting? I'm very comfortable. I rest. It's my day of rest. So, you understand that that perception of Shabbos is a perception of the Ummah Sa'olam, of the nations of the world. When you hear a Jew talk like that, it's very sad. The nations of the world have such a perception that a day of rest means being in a hammock, you know, sipping a soda and reading the Times. And this is us. That's the hope. And if God, we shouldn't live Shabbos like that, Chas v'Shalom. I mean, that's the whole hasog of what Shabbos is. Because why? Because that's the only aspect of Shabbos that was revealed. It's a day to rest. And this is how I rest. But we know that Shabbos is Me'er Olam Haba. And Me'er Olam Haba doesn't mean the New York Times. Not even the Wall Street Journal. It's not Me'er Olam Haba. It's not Me'er Olam Haba. The Pnimis of Shabbos is the Matan Schar of Shabbos that's Avida Ligluya only for the Tzaddikim who kept Shabbos in a real way. So Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, Yom Shabbos Menucha. Ulamasa Amolek Hu Pnimiyish Shineschamsa V'Neskalkula. Amolek has access to the deepest depths, and Amolek could have mamish been unbelievable, but it didn't go. It was Miskalkula. It got rotten. And you know, we'll talk about this in a minute in the Maharal in a different way. You know, it's one thing if you go over to if a child brings home from school a nice piece of art, so you're very proud and you praise the child for the beautiful drawing, and it's upsetting if something spilled on the drawing. But you don't get arrested for that. But if anybody would go over to the Mona Lisa in the museum and throw a glass of Coca-Cola on it or something, they'd probably keep you in jail the rest of your life. And you'd say, I don't know, the same thing happened to me yesterday. I dropped some soda on my kid's drawing. Nobody said a word. And today I get into trouble. Or if you go over to a masterpiece like the Mona Lisa and you just make a little mustache on it, So you're in big trouble. Why? Because you understand that when something had the potential of perfection, the closest something is to perfection, the more horrible, the more tragic is the slightest imperfection. So, the koch of Amalek that was so deep and so real, when it's nischamsa, it became vinegar, it got sour. When it's kalkula, it's not stam. You see, a Mona Lisa with a mustache is worth less than my kid's joy. Why? Because it's not pshat that it's stam a child's drawing. It was the most profound work of art in the world, and it was destroyed. So, you know how it is, you don't want to even look at it. It's not the same, Lamashal, it's not the same if you have a shmat of a coat like this, right? So what's this? This is $70, something like that, a coat, and it gets ruined. So you don't get soot. It doesn't bother. You can still wear it. Right, if you go to Bar Park in Williamsburg, everybody's wearing them like that. You can still wear it. It's no problem. But if you have $1,000 suit, something really beautiful, and it gets ruined, you don't want to even keep it in your closet. It stares you, right? You take it away. Get it out of here. I don't want to even look at it. Take it out of here. So many people in relationships that when they were going out, when they were courting each other madly in love, and then it's gedolah hasina yoisa mi'ahava. How come after they fall out of love, they can't like each other? Why does it have to be such a sinner? A person's able to have 100 friends. But this person, if that person does anything in a way that is in the slightest bit not what you want, then you go crazy. Everybody else knows what you say, it's okay. But over here, you can't take it. Because here there was the hope of perfection. Here there was the hope of depth. And when it spoils, it's not pshat that you could live with it. When it spoils, it becomes unbearable. The sin is gefährlich. The hatred is gefährlich. And so it is between Klal Yisrael and Amalek. So it is. The pnimiyus and the schamtze Avinas Kalkala Vahainu Mishum Shahoyba Nitzotz Kadosh of Yitzchok Avinu. Esav is the child, Esav is the son of Yitzchok and Rivka. So you understand that there was so much potential for perfection. There's Tumah. That's what Tumah means. That's what Tumah. Where there was potential for perfection, and it's miskalkel. I mean, mainly you understand why is it that also, I mean, the rice, you know that a non-Jewish corpse is not metamek yidua. It's not metamek. A non-Jewish corpse is not metamek. Of course, a Jewish corpse is, of course. So, have you ever No. Well, Amalek, as you know, we have to draw the historical lines between Edom Bechlal and Amalek Befrat. And that of course is a distinction is to be made. That's right, but an Amalek is at the bottom of the totem. He's not even at the bottom of the totem pole. It's a different... He's in a different... Reishis goyim Amalek v'achriso ade oveid. All the nations of the world can have a tikkun, can somehow be repaired. At the end of time, there's the possibility of repair, but Amalek is ade oveid. There's no tikkun for Amalek. There's no tikkun. Because there was something here that had unbelievable potential. That's with tumor. I mean, the Tumah of Amalek is a bezunt, it's a different gather of Tumah. V'hu b'roa b'chiroso havcho havcheu l'ra. And Amalek made the wrong choice, and with that b'chira that wasn't a good b'chira, with the b'chira that was terrible, so Amalek turned everything sour. V'al kein ha'yakocho godol lachdu l'pnimis Yisrael. Therefore Amalek has the koach to penetrate to the depths of Yisrael. Amalek has the koach to penetrate to the depths. So when it says, Erodu b'chem sonechem, it means there are only two that can really penetrate to the depths of another Jew, and that's another Jew and Amalek. Lahatil b'chem eres v'tuma. Amalek alone has the koach to inject tuma in the base of start. In the inner organs of Klal Yisrael. All the other nations, they hover above the surface, Achdabas like this, Achdabas like that, but they don't have the koach to be metame the inside. But Amalek poisons the inside. Ki kemosha mahuso hipnimis, because just like Amalek's essence, the core, it has that inner core, it comes from the world of pnimius. Kein hoyelo koach lev gomes apnimius, so it has the power to damage pnimius. It rises up against pnimius, against inwardness. Lochein, therefore, l'umas kocho ha-godl v'apgam ha-pnimi sha-osa, ha-yagodl on-sho limcho ze-zichro, v'sho yikablu geru mimenu. Therefore, in proportion to its ability to cause damage, in that way of pnimius, so too is the great punishment. The punishment of Amalek is not enough to give a patch. The punishment of Amalek is a day of day, that they have to be absolutely obliterated. There can't be a trace of Amalek in the universe. Well, if he omer, Yuvan Mashar Muzal has said the Bisholash Amitzvah Shinistavu Yisrael. Now we can understand the Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us the order of the three mitzvahs that have to be performed when we come to Eretz Yisrael. And the order is, Limchos, first is, the order is to Limchos as Amalek, to destroy Amalek. Limnos lehem melech, v'limnos lehem beis ha-bechira, to appoint a king, and to build the beis ha-mikdash. So he says, I say the b'shol sh'mitzvah sh'nastav yisrael, Limchos is zichu shal Amalek, olifnei b'ni beis ha-mikdash. Now the first mitzvah is Limnos lehem melech, is to appoint a king. And then it's to destroy him. Now that you have a king, to rise up and to fight against the Amalek, and then Livnos lehem beis ha-bechira. So why is the order that you have to? The Rebbe is explaining why is it that there has to be a mechias Amalek before you can build the beis ha-mikdash? Why does Amalek have to be destroyed before the beis ha-mikdash? Ki el molei If Amalek would not have been for the most part destroyed, of course we know that there was a remnant, but if Amalek had not been dealt a very strong blow before the Beis HaMikdash, after the parentheses, v'od lo matzino Amalek v'kosu lo haya epshul beis HaMikdash lehibanos. In other words, if Amalek is not going to be diminished, l'chadchil to be erased, but if Amalek is not going to be diminished, you can't have a Beis HaMikdash. You can't have a Beis HaMikdash. See, the Beis HaMikdash is the pnimius of Kedusha. It's the inwardness, it's the core of Klal Yisrael and holiness. The Beis HaMikdash is the place that cures impurity. It removes impurity from the world. The Beis HaMikdash is the Beis HaStorah. It's the hidden place of Klal Yisrael. It's the Matmonis, that's where our treasure is. As long as Amalek is in the world, we can't have a Beis HaMikdash. Because then you have one canceling out the other. Zelu mazeh. Therefore you find that the Beis HaMikdash is also called Zos Mokom. Ultimately, the Beis HaMikdash was doomed. The Beis HaMikdash was doomed. So he says, Lahaya Abshala Beis HaMikdash Lihibana Shala Yispagem Be'arasa Shala Amalek. Because if Amalek is in the world, then the Beis HaMikdash can be poisoned by Amalek. There's no koach of the nations of the world that can hurt the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash can't be hurt by any of the nations of the world because their arrows are only affecting the outwardness of Klal Yisrael. So the Beis HaMikdash is the hidden secret place. But Amalek is like, what was it with the Lahavdil? Remember, what was it, the Superman and Kryptonite? What was it, Kryptonite? Kryptonite, right? It was the only thing, he had to always stay away from that, right? He had to stay away from Kryptonite. Right. That was from the Mahus. That was from the essence. That was from his Makar, his Shorish, right? That was from his Shorish. And if it was from the Shorish, it could destroy him. So since Amalek comes from the Shorish of Yitzchak Avinu, it's not only it comes from the Shorish. You see, here's the difference. The Brisker Rav said it. Here's the difference between Yishmael and Esav. Yishmael doesn't like us too much either. But there's a difference between an oyev and a sone. Yishmael is an oyev. Yishmael's an enemy. Yishmael's an enemy. And therefore, whenever Yishmael feels threatened by Klal Yisrael, so Yishmael will fight against us. Esav is a sone. Halacha Esav sone is Yaakov. Sinna means, if there's one Jew in the world, Esav will track him down. Yishmael doesn't do that. Yishmael's contention with Klal Yisrael is mostly over Eretz Yisrael, Kiddur. Comparatively through history, although it wasn't always, we weren't treated as equals with the Muslims because we were infidels. We didn't accept Muhammad. Nevertheless, no one in his right mind would compare the historical experience of the Jewish people with Esav to that we had with Yishmael. You couldn't in your right mind make a comparison. It was infinitely more comfortable with Yishmael. Infinitely more comfortable. Yishmael's not a son. Yishmael's an Oyeh. Esav is a son. In other words, Esav can't bear the presence of Klal Yisrael in the world. Yishmael has tainus. Esav doesn't have tainus. Esav is, I can't live as long as there's a Jew in the world. That's Hitler. But here's the difference. So the difference is as follows. So the morale says, the difference is that Yishmael was not in the womb together with Yitzchak. That's the difference. Yishmael was the child of Avram, first of all with Hagar. Esav and Yaakov were together in the same womb. Therefore, existentially, Esav has a taina, a very strong taina, that I come from the inwardness. I come from the place of pnimius. You see, with Yishmael, you could say, Sof Yishmael comes from Hagar with Avram. Hagar with Avram. So there's still something that we're not speaking the same language. There's a chitzonius over there. But Esav is a twin. Hello, ach. It says in the pasuk, hello, ach, Esav liyakov. As Yaakov ahavti, ves Esav sanei si, Hashem says. They're brothers. So Biskrov said, it's one thing if there's a cousin that gets a patch. It's nothing if a brother gets a patch. A cousin that gets a patch, you can make shalom for. When a brother gets a patch, an achshin is rachel. So the sinner of Esav, the hatred of Esav, is the inside of the grape. It's the sour grape. Maybe that was that. Maybe that's where that comes from. That's where the sinner is a sinner which is pnimis, which is a sinner nisteris, a sinner blua. It's absorbed in the very mohus of Esav, who was supposed to get was the bechor and was supposed to be, and his brother took it away from him. By Yishmael, it's not the same. Yishmael is a para-adam. Para-adam is different. Para-adam means he's an outsider. Yishmael is forever an outsider. Ad Hayyan, Yishmael is an outsider. It's a para-adam. Yishmael never made it. Yishmael never made it. Esav made it. And it's Mizrahi. There's a difference between the Vatican and Gaza. A Palestinian and the Ovi Ovis Atum in the Vatican. There's a difference. Even though one goes with whiskers and is unkempt and is an anti-Semite, and the other goes in a yarmulke and a fancy outfit and drives a Pope mobile, it's not the same. I'm more afraid of the guy in the fancy threads. I'm more afraid. He speaks of his love for the Jewish people and how much he admires Jews and how many Jews he saved during the Holocaust. We understand. Tzayni is machzach abyssal. You know, he makes like this. But in the pnim, in the core, you can't compare. You can't compare. We could get along with Arafat. You can make shalom with Arafat. Not on the terms that are presently being negotiated. But in the end of time, we can make shalom with people like that. We can make shalom on our terms. On our terms. Not in Yerushalayim, not in Chevron, not in Beis Lech, but on our terms. But we can make shalom. But Esav, Amalek, no. Because Amalek wants the Beis HaMikdash. Ha'omer Oru Oru Ada Yisod Ba. No? What does it mean, Ha'omer Oru Oru Ada Yisod Ba? That Amalek, Esav says, destroy, Oru Ada Yisod Ba. To get to the foundation of Klal Yisrael.
I think that's the difference between the rest of
Esav. You say that Amalek is Ad Klal. Okay, we're going to talk about that in Mitzvah on Shabbos. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. But there are three categories. Amalek is a b'chin of its own. Amalek is a category of Esav that's Ad Klal. That's what it means that Ein Hakisei Shalom. Amalek is not happy till it gets to the throne of God.
That's why Zenochai is the chief, because the ultimate Ra is a Ra that I came to Tshuva, so in my mind I'm doing a mitzvah, even though I'm committing a tzibah.
In other words, it's not a regular Ra, but he's saying it's true.
It's no kapara, because I'm thinking that the Ra I'm doing time to it, I'm aiming through the act of tzibah.
That's right. In other words, it comes from a different place.
That's why Amalek came from Alifas.
Right. It comes from a different, the Shorish is from a different place. It's from an inner place. When it says Oru Oru Ada Yisod Ba, you see that the meaning of that is as the Mefarshim say is that we know that the Aron, the Torah, is hidden. It's hidden beneath the Beis HaMikdash. We don't know where it is, but it's Gomez, right? It's hidden, and we also know that the Koach of the Beis HaMikdash, the holiness of the Beis HaMikdash, comes from the Aron, as we spoke about in Halacha a few weeks ago. That's where the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is generated from the Aron. And the Aron is hidden beneath, it's by the Yisod. Therefore, Amalek is not satisfied with knocking down walls. See, all the nations of the world that had problems with us, they wanted to knock down the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. That's not, Amalek's not interested. Amalek, you can have the wall, I don't care about the walls. Amalek is going out of Yisod, you understand? To get to the, all the way down beneath the Beis HaMikdash to find Ada Yisod. That's the Shorish. Yeah.
Distinction among the three great nations. Amalek and Ishmael. Ishmael always has a territorial dispute with us.
That's right.
They don't jump over two nations to get to us.
That's right.
Amalek jumped over two nations to get to it. And even Esav has a dispute with us, because the Torah says that so long as we are small, we are strong, he's
strong.
When he's strong, we're the enemy. So there's always some fight between us. And so Esav is not in the category of, all of Esav is not in the category of Amalek. Amalek is Asher Karcha Baderech, as Rashi says, Lashon Mikra. He's out to prove that everything that happens in the world is Lashon Mikra. In other words, if there's a poor on Purim, it's to show that there is no fate, that there is no destiny, that you'll decide somebody's fate by throwing dice. Now that's what he's out to prove, that God doesn't control the world. Asher doesn't try to do that. So when the Avnei Nezer talks about Nikios, he may be talking about the Mahus. In other words, Amalek is out to prove he has no fight with us, and even when he has no fight with us, he's out to prove that everything is Lashon Mikra, that God doesn't run the world. And if he can destroy us, he can prove that God doesn't run the world.
Yeah, well, the Asher Karach we're going to talk about more, but the fact that Amalek and the Jewish people could externally appear to get along, just like Yaakov and Esav could be exchanging kisses. But we understand that because here the struggle is a struggle that's taking place in a much deeper level, therefore any kind of relationship, any kind of camaraderie on any level can never exist in the depths.
That's Amalek, not Esav. Because with Edom, we wanted to pass through their land, and they wouldn't give us food and drink. But we had some shaykhus, we were walking through their land. Whereas Amalek, he was two countries away, and he jumped over to kill us. Why? Because he couldn't stand
right. That
Shamu Amim by your cousin. In other words, if the whole world trembled because Hashem gave the Torah, and God controls the world, he can't stand that.
Right.
So only if he can kill Bnei Israel, he can show that the Matan Torah was also made.
Right. See,
Esav doesn't feel that way.
The desire of Amalek, of Asher Karcha, that everything is a Mikra, what's scary about it is like this. You see, if some idiot comes along and tells you that the Shia that you heard or the Shmuz that you heard is not important, so that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You don't pay any attention. But if a very, very, very perceptive, insightful, and deep person comes along and tells you it's an Irish guy, so then you're tempted to believe the person. Amalek's koach of depth, it's koach of leitzonis that we'll talk more about in Yitzhak Shem and Shabbos, the power to ridicule, to mock the depth of holiness. Here, Amalek can't bear the presence of holiness. It's a simon. It's a simon. When the
Esav can bear, he just has a totally different view.
Yeah. There's a Kabbalah that Reb Chaim Volozhiner received from the Vilna Gaon. At that time, the Tsar in Russia, according to the Vilna Gaon, in Russia, there was a very strong presence of Amalek. And so what happened was, the Vilna Gaon gave Reb Chaim Volozhiner a simon. At that time, there was a huge ceremony because in St. Petersburg, it was after the Vilna Gaon already died, Reb Chaim Volozhiner was going to St. Petersburg because they were coronating the new Tsar, or whatever they were doing, some huge ceremony, and all the religious leaders had to come. Jews and Lahavdil non-Jews had to come to this big spectacle in St. Petersburg. And the Vilna Gaon had told Reb Chaim Volozhiner, maybe the Gaon was still alive, he was maybe just too old, they didn't bother him, I don't know, but Reb Chaim Volozhiner was the one that had to go. And the Vilna Gaon told Reb Chaim Volozhiner that you want to see a Amalek, I'm going to show you a Amalek. He says, when you're going to go to this huge ceremony, you're going to stand there with hundreds of religious dignitaries, you'll be able to know who Amalek is, because there's going to be the crown prince, who's a little boy, is going to come over and is going to kick you. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner went to St. Petersburg, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, and had all the big religious dignitaries lined up, and the family, the royal family, is marching through with a whole ceremony, and this little brat, who's going to be czar later on, he sees Reb Chaim Volozhiner, that's the Kohel Kedusha, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he sees holiness, and he runs over and gives a kick to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. And then they told him to go back, they were calling for him to go back in the line. And everybody was laughing. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, this is Amalek. It's an amazing thing. It couldn't be Soivel. Couldn't tolerate Kedusha. A real Amaleki can smell Kedusha. Because they have a sense of it. They have a sense of it. Stam. But Yishmael is not like Bechlam. So now look what happens with Purim. The Krasha Nahafaychu. Asha Yishl to a Yehudim Hebe Besoneihem. So now we have Purim. So Purim is Nahafaychu. And Purim, everything is turned completely around. So Nizgaba HaKoach HaPnimi, this was makes Purim the biggest yontiv of the year. Since Purim is the time of Mechias Amalek. You know, Purim is when the Pnimius, the inwardness of evil, rose up against us. V'nahafechu means the Purim time is Nizgabra Koach HaPnimius of Yisrael. The inner core of the Jewish people is active during the time of Purim. Because everything was reversed. V'hegiu l'kabolas ha-Torah mitoch ahavas ha-neis. That's why on Purim we receive the Torah in Shushan out of great love for the nation, for Hashem, which we weren't able to earlier. Because Amalek was defeated. And Amalek is the sour grape, the chometz, the vinegar. And when it was defeated, then the wine began to flow. And the wine was the inwardness of Klal Yisrael's rotzna, pnimi, to be makabel the Torah mi'ahava, out of love. The ahav he koach pnimi, and love is an inner koach. Therefore, they were able to learn Torah in a deeper way. And therefore, it was right after Purim took place, when the period of the second Beis Hamikdash would begin, and that's when the Torah began to reverberate throughout the world, and when the Mishnah began to develop, the Mishnayos were being arranged. Mishnah is the letters Neshama. Because only as a result of the defeat of Haman, the defeat of Amalek, where the inner core of the Jewish people was opened. Because something was ripped open, something was attacked. No, but Amalek was destroyed in a Havrichu. So now the open Jewish Neshama can produce a Mishnah. Whereas beforehand, the learning was more in Chitzanias, the learning was more superficial. But now that the inner core has been revealed through Amalek's attack, so now Klal Yisrael turns it around, v'nahafechu, Haman is hanging on the tree, and Mordechai is teaching Mishnayot. She achelik ha-sichli v'apnimi sheba'adam, the neshama is the chelik ha-sichli, the intellect, the inner core of a Jew. V'zeh na'asa l'dairis. And this, the Avnei Nezer taught, this is something that continues throughout all generations. That if a person removes himself, distances himself from the klipa, from the impurity of Amalek, to the extent that one distances himself from Amalek, so to that extent is he able to come to the amkus haTorah, to the very depths of Torah. The nevlas bedomo, and the Torah becomes absorbed in his blood. It reaches to the inner core of the person. Shehu shiyehehu v'taroso achodim, that the person and the Torah should become mamish like one. So you see, therefore we understand that Purim has this quality of pnimius that you don't see by the other Yom Tov. The pnimius, we mainly understand that even Jews who are normally not so excited about Yiddishkeit, they're normally not so excited. When it comes to Purim, all the chevre gets meshugah. So you want to say it in a superficial way means because everybody's looking for a good time. But in pnimius, there's something about Purim that awakens within the Jewish people, a Jewish person, an awareness that I'm a Jew. Whereas the rest of the year, it's not so clear. So the biur, the clarification of what is a Jew, that's Purim. That's the pnimius of Yom Kippurim. That's why Purim, Yom Kippur, it says in the Tikkun Ezora is Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. What's the pshat? Yom Kippur. So the avodah of Yom Kippur was that you take two goats, and they have to, according to the Mishnah says in Yoma, that the two goats have to be equal in height and value and look and appearances and so on, the two goats. But the difference comes out in the end that one is Lashem, one goes into the holiest avodah of the year, and the other is Lazozel, is thrown off the mountain, is tossed off the mountain, and is shattered, and is the symbol of the Satan of the world of impurity. And we know that the Seir is Esav. Esav was Ish Seir. So what does that mean? It means that the whole year a Jew looks at himself and he sees many things about him that resemble a Molech. Just like the two Seirim, the two goats had to be, they were exactly the same externally. But on Yom Kippur, Hashem lifts and says, they look the same to you, don't they? This one goes in a certain kind of haircut, that one has a haircut. This one speaks this language, they sing the same songs. They look the same, don't they? So everybody says, yeah, they look Mamash Hashem, I can't tell the difference. So Hashem says, come over here. And these two goats are smiling. The Mamash twins. Amalek and Yisrael, right? Isa Seir and the Ish Tam. A Mamash twins. So the Baruch Shalom says, the girl is made. The girl means Va'ata Goraleinu. The girl is made. And we take one of them, and they're coming over to push them off. You can hear Esav saying, what's going on, you fellas? What's the matter? What are you doing that for? Everything's all right. We're getting along. We're twins. Arise. Off the mount. So Yom Kippurim is, Purim is Yom Kippurim, and Purim is from one, is of the same breed. On Purim, a Jew dresses up like a goy. On Purim, a Jew dresses in the outfit of a Molech. That goof is showing that on the surface we might look the same, but in pnimius they're two different kinds. There's a cloud that when things look very similar on the outside, you have to go very, very deep down to find the difference. Like with twins. Twins on the outside might look the same. Therefore, to understand the difference, you have to penetrate to the core. But in the core, there's a huge difference. Huge difference. So it is with Klai Yisrael and with Esav, that Yom Kippur is the birur of Lashem v'la'azazel. And that's the union of Adelo Yodim and Araham L'Baruch Mordechai. Which doesn't seem to make sense. But the whole point of Purim is to clarify Araham and Baruch Mordechai. So what does he mean, Adelo Yodim? That means that even though on the superficial level of things, even though on the surface one doesn't recognize the difference between Araham and Baruch Mordechai, Purim is Mevar. That a Haman gets hanged on the tree, and Mordechai rides down the street on the horse. Purim is Mavar. Purim is Mavar. And that's why the tree was Gavoa Hamishim Amah, 50 Amos high. Because 50 is the Sharebina. 50 is that point of Yovel, which means beyond comprehension. This world is a world of nature, is the world of seven. Yovel is already from that world beyond 7 times 7. It's 50. It's beyond this world. In this world, Amalek and Yaakov look like they're twins. Esav and Yaakov are brothers. But the Eitz Gavoa Hamishim Amah was Mevara, that the end, the Goral is, that Amalek ends up on the tree, and Klai Yisrael ends up wearing the royal garments. That's the Birur of Purim. That the Goral is that when it comes out to Hashem's Goral, it comes out Klai Yisrael on top. And that Amalek is thrown Lazozo. Alright, we should be Zarechim as Hashem to see, to feel some of the Simcha, of being a Jew. Plus the plain Simcha of being a Jew, of our Yahadis. That's what Purim is all about. Okay, next week. Yeah, Shushan Purim. We'll learn.